Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 348, the first four stanzas. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, Psalter 348, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 18, the verses 1 through 20. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 18, the first 20 verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. A woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, He rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou wast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord, we have heard out of thy holy word that where two or three may be gathered in thy name, that thou will be in the midst of them. May that be fulfilled. May that be experienced in this evening hour, that the King may walk in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Then it is pleased thee by renewal on the Sabbath day that the doors of thy house have been opened, and that another part of the congregation may come up to thy house. Then it has been a day where thou hast showered us with countless blessings above most of the fellow travelers upon the face of the earth. Our blessings have increased, also our stewardship and our responsibility. Then thou art so worthy to receive the thanksgiving that's not to be found in the natural heart. May it please thee by thy Holy Spirit to grant it in thy house in this evening hour. The day already is far spent. The night is drawn nigh. May we be given to pray thee with the travelers to Emmaus, that thou may abide with us. We read in thy word that they have constrained thee, and that thou hast dwelt with them, and that thou wast made known unto them in the breaking of bread. Ah, wonder-doing God, wilt thou then perform wonders amongst us? Wilt thou look down upon us poor sinners in the Son of thine eternal love? May it please thee, as that sovereign God, as that heavenly potter, that thou may pick up those ruined lumps of clay that have never asked for thee and that shall never ask for thee, that thou may pick them up and place them upon the potter wheel of free and sovereign grace and begin to form a vessel for thy honor and for thy glory. And where thou hast begun that work, may they be formed and shaped more and more, as we read in thy word, to become conformable to the image of thy dear Son. O Lord, it is so indispensable that between the cradle and the grave, by thy free grace, by the loving and irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit, that we are given to experience, oh, to be loved with thy precious love, to be comforted with those precious promises in thy holy word. Oh, to be purchased, to be redeemed by thy precious blood, and then to be justified by thy precious faith. It is all a gift which has been merited by thy dear Son, which thou granteth unto thy people by the work of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, may it please thee to do a great work amongst us, that the number of those candlesticks, that they may be increased. And where they have become candlesticks in beginning, that light may glow brighter and brighter. Ah, thou hast a people upon the earth that can have so many questions. Ah, they have learned that they are so black, that they are so vile. They have learned to weep bitter tears because of their sins and because of that separation with a confession that they are not a candlestick. And then it can come so low. Maybe a few souls amongst us in this evening hour, a word has come so low, no longer a candlestick, but only a smoke and flax that is still smothering, and where there can be those profound fears that they have never become a candlestick, that it was never thy work, where it is becoming less and less, and afraid that soon it shall come to nothing. But, oh Lord, where thou hast begun, thou shalt never forsake the work of thine own hands. Then it is thy work to break everything down of self, to make room for the precious meritorial work of thy Son, Jesus Christ. By renewal we commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. We commend unto thee all the nations of the earth, with all the trials, with all the troubles, with all the judgments, with the perplexities. May there yet come a bowing of the knees and an acknowledging that thou ruleth over everything. Remember also our nation, that has departed so far from thy word and from thy institutions. Remember our province with the government officials. Remember the towns, the cities, also the council of this town. And then we remember the needs of a neighboring large town where they hope to meet in the day of tomorrow in the evening, and to consider the furtherance of a bylaw that is so contrary to thy word. May their eyes be opened. May voices be raised. May thy word receive a place. May they come to repentance while it may yet, and while it can yet. O Lord, then as a country, we consider to murder the unborn, the Lord's they no longer kept, For most of the people, a day is other days, a day of recreation, but not a day to go to thy house. And the seventh commandment trampled upon, woe unto us that we have sinned. But, O Lord, it is written that the time has come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God. Then thou art speaking unto us in such a special way. May we be given to turn from evil, from worldly ways. Lord, there may still be many amongst us where there may still be respect for thy word when it is different. Wilt thou give a turning unto thee? And even when there may be a respect, then let us consider how far we have departed from our forefathers with that tender, with that close, and with that dependent life. It is so necessary that sin becomes sin, guilt becomes guilt, that godly sorrow with the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. We commend unto thee a young couple who toward the end of this week hope to come up to thy house with family and with friends and to be united in holy matrimony, to begin life's journey together as husband and wife. Well, may thy special presence be experienced. May they be given to beg of thee, that thou may be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, that it may be a marriage not only in thy providence, but in thy divine favor. Remember all our young people. May it please thee to grant them partners wherewith they can go through this life around the old truth and the old ways. Lord, remember the many needs, and by renewal, then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones in their deep grief, with those empty places in heart, home, and lives. Remember all our elderly ones in the climbing of their years in different places. Above all, remember their never-dying souls. Remember all the sick and afflicted ones, those that have that dreaded disease. We commend them all unto thee. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Wilt thou remember the difficulties of the mind, when our minds are perplexed and hopes are clouded. May their eyes be upon thee. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters. Thou knowest where they are in this evening, wandering upon the face of the earth, maybe under a deceitful religion. May it please thee to look them up. Wilt thou keep all of us under thy truth? Above all, may we be given to experience that truth, that that truth may set us free. Remember all the family circles, may love abound, bring together what belongs together. Then by renewal we commend unto thee a member under censure, our Lord. May he be given to receive that place of humility and repentance. And now in this evening hour, then by renewal on this day, then we humbly ask thee for the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou grant the thoughts, the subjects, and the words with clarity. Remember all the listeners, those that may have come up to thy house, those that are bound to their homes in this evening hour. May it please thee to work lovingly and irresistibly with thy Holy Spirit, that it may please thee to do a great work amongst us. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Remember everything that we forget, forget it not. Bless what awaits thy blessing, and with an impression, our Lord, that we have no rights, but thou hast declared in thy word that with all our needs, with all our sins, with all our burdens, that we may and must come to thy throne of grace, then we have to confess that of self we are so prayerless and so thankless, and to that end we need the spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving to acknowledge thee for thy manifold blessings. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 273, the stanzas 3 through 7. O Lord, regard the prayer of those who love the walls of Zion well, whose hearts are heavy for her woes, who said amid her ruins dwell, and what follows. 273, 3 through 7. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 31, the question and answers 83, 84, and 85. Question 83, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Answer, the preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline, or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is open to believers and shut against unbelievers. Question 84, how is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut by the preaching of the Holy Gospel? Answer, thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. Question 85, how is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer, thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church or to those who were thereunto appointed by the church, and if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ, and when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and his church. Lord's Day number 31, that speaks of the two keys of the kingdom of heaven. With three thoughts in the first place, the purpose of the keys. In the second place, the key of separating preaching. And in the third place, the key of Christian discipline. The two keys of the kingdom of heaven, the purpose of the keys, the key of separating preaching, and the key of Christian discipline. Beloved congregation, we have come to the last Lord's Day under the part of deliverance. Our children can remember that our catechism is divided into three parts. A knowledge that is necessary for us and our children to know to obtain that true comfort for body and for soul, for time and for eternity. Then the first Lord's days, the first four, they are given to speak of misery, of the knowledge of misery, the origin of misery, and the punishment for our sins. Then from Lord's Day number 5 through this Lord's Day number 31, then it is in the part of deliverance, how that a poor and a needy sinner that has sinned everything away, that have experienced that they are so black, oh, a possibility to be saved through the precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ applied by the Holy Spirit. Then in the Lord's days number 25 through 31, there is spoken of the means of grace, of the preaching of the gospel, and of the holy sacraments. Then in the last Lord's day, then we have heard for whom the Lord's day, the Lord's Supper is instituted. But then we have also heard who are not to be admitted to the Lord's Supper. Then we have heard from the instructors that we cannot judge the heart, but that we may judge the confession and the walk. And then we have heard in the last question, the last answer of the last Lord's Day, are they also to be admitted to this supper who by confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? No, for by this the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore, it is the duty of the Christian church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven until they show amendment of life. Then that question that refers more to the Lord's Supper. But when we consider the keys that are given in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then it pertains to the whole congregation. What a solemn example we have in Joshua 7, where the Lord has commanded that the first city that was conquered in the land of Canaan, and boys and girls, you know which city that was. That was Jericho. That the gold, the silver, the fruits thereof, that was to be for the Lord. But then when they have conquered the city, then Achan, then he sought 200 shekels of silver, and surely he would thought, a little less silver for the Lord. No one shall know it. Oh, he has forgot that the Lord sees everything. Then he saw a Babylonian garment, and he saw a wedge of gold of 50 shekels. And then he desired it. He looked at it. He has taken it. He has taken it home, and they have buried it under the tent. That was a secret sin. Only Achan and his family seem to have known of what Achan has done. But even with that secret sin, the wrath of the Lord came upon the children of Israel. And when they went to war, not such a big city, Ai, then different soldiers were killed. And then when Joshua has inquired, then the Lord has said there is a thief. And then until that thief was found out, they have cast the lot. And then Achan of the tribe of Judah, then he was singled out and he has confessed everything that he has done. And then they have taken Achan with his wife with his children, with the stolen goods, with his animals, with everything that Achan had, to a valley, the valley of Achor. And there they were stoned and burnt with fire and a large heap of stones. And then the Lord has went up with the children of Israel to conquer the city. When we speak of the sins concerning this Lord's day, concerning that wrath, then it does not concern infirmities or when the church leaves their first love. It is true. Then the spirit can be grieved, and we have heard in this afternoon, except there is repentance, then Ephesus was threatened that the candlestick would be taken out of the midst of them. But then it concerns special sins. And now our first thought, the purpose of the keys. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? What are we now to understand by that expression, the kingdom of heaven? That is the glorious and gracious work which the Spirit works in the heart of His people. Then that kingdom of heaven may be established in the heart of His children. Then further it concerns the external administration of the covenant of grace, the visible manifestation of the church of Jesus Christ upon this earth. And it shall have its fullness in eternity for the people of God. And now when we read, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The preaching of the holy gospel and Christian discipline, or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is open to believers and shut against unbelievers. But then we read in this Lord's Day congregation, that there is a way to be saved. Then there is spoken of a door that may be opened in paradise. Then we have closed that door. The Lord has placed those cherubims with that flaming sword that turned every way. Then Adam, our covenant head, he has fallen. He has closed that door, and it would have been so righteous if the Lord would have kept that door closed. Then there would be no hope for us and our children, then boys and girls. Then we would not have to come to church in this evening, because then it could not be proclaimed that there is a way that that door may be opened. But now the wonder also in this Lord's Day, that there is spoken of a way that that door may be opened. Different places of the scripture, then we read of a door. Only think of the Ark of Noah. Then Noah has preached, and then he has pointed to that door. And then he has told the people, boys and girls and older ones, that if they would enter that ark, and when the flood would come, then they would be safe. But it is clear that most of the people were unbelievers. God's people were taken away before the flood has come. Then they did not believe that it was so bad, and that the earth would be destroyed, young and old. Is that now our picture? Do we not read in John 10, verse 9, of the sheepfold, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, as that good and great shepherd, who was willing to lay down his life for the sheep, that he is that door, that he has made a way back to the Father heart of God. Thus in our Lord's Day, then that wonder may be declared, that there is a way that we may be saved. And now concerning the purpose of those keys, Then our children know what a key is that we use to lock and to open a door. And why do we now close? Why do we now open a door? We could speak of a house. We could speak of a city when there is an enemy. Then concerning such a city, then the inhabitants that dwell in that city, they may enter in that city, but when the enemy comes, then the door is locked by a key. Then that door is also used to protect the valuable possessions in such a city or in such a house. And now this Lord's Day, that speaks of two keys. Those boys and girls, then we can consider a house with two doors. And now if your parents only lock one and they do not lock the other one, then if a robber or thief would come, then they could enter into your house. Then it is necessary that both of those doors, that they are locked with a key. When we consider this Lord's Day, then it is maybe more proper to place two doors beside each other, because it is first the preaching of the gospel and then Christian discipline and excommunication. We read in Revelations 1 verse 18 that Christ has declared He was the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and have the keys of hell and death. Thus then we have the picture of someone that owns a house, an owner, or a large building with many valuable goods. And then that owner, he travels to a far country, and then he grants a set of keys to a certain person that is responsible for watching over his goods, everything that is valuable. When such an owner gives the keys to such a man, then such a man, he does not become an owner of those possessions and of that building, but he is only an officer and a steward. And so Christ, He has ascended into heaven. He sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And then He has given those keys in the midst of the church to the office bearers, that His church may more and more resemble a candlestick, that it may not be defiled. I read in Matthew 16, verse 19, I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. Thus, when we consider this Lord's Day, together with the former Lord's Days, then the Lord's Day number 25 through 31, they do not only speak of the means of grace, the preaching of the gospel, and the administration of the sacraments, but then in these Lord's days there are spoken of the three marks of the true church, Gerou de Bray, and the confession of faith. He has spoken of these three marks, and then he has mentioned the pure preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments according to God's word, and Christian discipline. Our second thought, the key of separating preaching, then there is asked in question 84, how is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the holy gospel. Then with this key, it first speaks of the opening and then of the shutting. And the next question, then it is the other way around. How is the kingdom of heaven shut? Then we first have shut and opened by Christian discipline. And then the answer, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified. Christ has given the commission to his disciples in Matthew 18, verse 19, that they must go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Well, the Apostle Paul has declared in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And now when the instructors have said publicly, then they emphasize the public preaching of God's word. Of course, also the reading. Of course, that does not exclude our personal devotions, our family circles. But it is stressed the command and the blessing to publicly gather in God's house. Oh, what a text we have in the Bible where those desires and those blessings are explained. Do we not hear the psalmist in Psalm 26, verse 8? I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. When we think of Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, to inquire in his temple, and to behold the beauty of the Lord. O Psalm 84, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. O then in Psalm 122, then the children of Israel, when they went to the feast, then they were glad when they went up to God's house. And we read the admonishment in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not to forsake the assembling of one another together. We have heard in this morning that it pleases the Lord Jesus Christ to walk in the midst of the golden candlesticks. It is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer. Oh, then it is necessary concerning those keys, because when the Lord works with his Spirit, oh, what must be declared that by nature that we stand outside. But now when we read of all and every believer, when the Lord works by his Spirit, when the Lord begins that good work, then we become a true believer. It is true. The child of God must be instructed in the ways of the Lord. But then a true believer, then it becomes true. Then God becomes real and true in our life and also our sins. And then as a poor sinner, we learn that we have to do with a shut door, because the gate that refers to the justice of God, oh, nothing can enter therein that is sinful, that defileth. Ah, then it must be publicly testified to every believer in the different conditions of life, because the old John is written to the church. Ah, that there are babes, that there are children, that there are young men, that there are fathers in Christ. But oh, then it is necessary to declare to all and every believer, ah, those troubled souls that think that their sins are too great, who are afraid that they are not humbled and unworthy enough, then it must be publicly and declared, oh, it is true, the marks of grace must be set forth, that the congregation can examine themselves, to which encampment they belong, but also to which people they belong. Because the true believer, they find their life declared in the scriptures, declared from the pulpit. Ah, then they may be so glad, as with a Ruth, when they may come to glean on the fields of Boaz. Oh, it is true. They have to learn that much has to be threshed and that they have to learn the giver. But now it is so necessary for those believers that are exercised with that shador and who have learned that with all their efforts that door is shut still, that they can never satisfy the justice of God, and that the Lord demands a perfect satisfaction. Ah, then to those that poor and needy people, then it must be publicly testified and declared, oh, for poor sinners, it is true, it is called the straight gate, but that gate we may say, oh, it is so wide that there is no sinner too big that may not enter through that gate. Ah, then it may be publicly testified and declared, as the instructors have said, that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by true faith, then it must be declared, look unto me all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God and none else. Oh, those precious invitations, then it may be declared that there is no sinner too black and no sinner too vile. Ah, then it may be declared that there has never one yet come with a burden of their sins and with a true need, that gate has been shut. But in the exercise of faith, oh, we'll look upon that precious mediator who was white and ruddy and who is the chiefest among 10,000s. Oh, then it must be publicly declared that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Oh, then it must be publicly declared how that gate has been opened, because the justice of God demands a perfect satisfaction. Oh, then to enter that gate, then we need a right, and we need to be made meet. Then we need to be justified, and we need to be sanctified. But then it must be publicly declared that the Father has given His dear Son. Oh, that He has come with the burden of sin of His church, and by His meritorial work, that He has suffered and died under the justice of His Father, that He has placed Himself under that cherubim, that sword, that is placed at the garden of paradise, that barred the way to that tree of life. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hands to those little ones. Oh, then it must be declared, for those women that have went to that woman with that issue of blood, that has went to many physicians, and that her money is gone, where it has become so hopeless, and then it must be publicly declared, oh, by a true saving faith, when a child of God may be given to touch the hem of His garment, that they shall be truly saved. And then the instructors have said, whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God, for the sake of Christ's merits. Oh, what a roomy gospel that may still be proclaimed unto us and our children, but young and old, it needs to be experienced here by the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to become what we are. We need to become a believer. Oh, to believe in God, to believe in our lost condition, to believe in the shortness of time, but also to be led further. Oh, the instructors by renewal, they stress the necessity to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Then the instructors do not stop with convictions and with a need. Oh, it is true, it shall be experienced. It is true, the one shall be led deeper than the other. But every child of God shall know of that wonder of free and sovereign grace, for a poor, for a needy, for a black sinner. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus, that He has opened the door back to the Father heart of His Father, that there is a way, as Jesus Christ now declared in John 14, verse 16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me, to the Father, but by me, but also, and on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent. Thus the instructors are speaking of the keys. The key that is opened by the preaching of the precious gospel. But that door remains shut for unbelievers. Then it is also necessary. In God's people there are different encampments. We have mentioned babes, children, young men, and fathers in grace. But also concerning unbelievers. How does that sound, congregation? That word unbeliever. That is a deep word. That we do not really believe, of course, with our mind. By historical knowledge, still a privilege, still a blessing. Lord works under the external administration of the covenant. But an unbeliever, that we do not really believe what the Lord tells us in His holy word. What an awful condition to be. Of course, there's also a difference with unbelievers. There are those whose heart has become very hard. Those that reject God's word, the admonishments, go in the world, that grieve the Spirit, and that are a grief for God's people, and that anger the Lord. Of that people I read in Proverbs 29, verse 1, and he that being often reproved shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. There are other unbelievers that do not go so far in the world, but are so busy with the world and in the world. And it is true we are called upon to be diligent in the earning of our daily bread. But then it is possible that it much exceeds our daily bread. And I know in the business world, then sometimes it is not so easy. From one thing comes another. When we are not in the business world, then it is easy to say, why do they do this and that? Nevertheless, how is it in the heart? What is the purpose of in the world? Is it only gaining more and more? Or is it for the poor, for our neighbor, for the coming of God's kingdom? Then for those unbelievers, Christ has said that we must first seek the kingdom of heaven. There are other unbelievers that have convictions, that live perhaps not so easy, that maybe sometime at night when you come home from church, that you are very troubled. But that people that do not find their life in the Word of God, then there are other unbelievers. Think of that rich young ruler. Oh, he was busy with it. He has come to Christ. what must they do to inherit eternal life? And then Christ, he has not mentioned what we heard in this answer about the work of Jesus Christ. He has first pointed him to the law because he trusted in his good works, trusted that he was a church member, not as bad as even other church members. And then Christ has recited the second table, and he has said, all of these have I kept from my youth. Oh, who would dare to say it in this evening? I do not think there would be one in this evening hour. And then we read remarkable words in Mark 10, that Jesus loved him, even concerning that outward walk, that it was not an offense to the church, did not put blame upon the church. And then Christ says, go and sell all. But then we read further, and such, so unbelievers, but to further describe those unbelievers where the gate remained shut, and such as do not sincerely repent. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, then it is implied that there is a way back. Oh, how necessary to be given to ask for that precious work of the Spirit, that we may be given to repent. But if they do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, and only a step between us and death, as long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them in this and in the life to come. Let us first sing. Psalter 386, the stanzas 4, 5, and 8. Guard thou my thoughts, I thee implore, and of my hands and of my lips keep thou the door, nor leave my sinful heart to stray where evil footsteps lead the way. And what follows, 386, 4, 5, and 8. the two keys of the kingdom of heaven. The purpose of the keys, the key of separating preaching, and now thirdly, the key of Christian discipline. And that is the key that comes after the preaching of the Word of God. We have different examples in the Old Testament. We shall not mention them for the time's sake. In the New Testament, we shall only mention in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 13, of the sin of fornication, therefore put away from you that wicked person. And John is written in John 2, verse 10, if there come one unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and neither bid him Godspeed. Then Christian discipline, there is a great difference between Christian discipline and between the sword that the government must not carry in vain. Then Christian discipline, that it is as a medicine, that the sinner may be brought to repentance, and therefore administered in love. On the other hand, it is necessary to warn against the thoughts of the world, and even in a large part of the religious world, that love stands above everything, that love even stands above the Word of God. And to that end, also in our country, the laws which speak of discrimination, that we may not speak and warn according to the Word of God, but we must be loving to our neighbor. And that thought, that is also creeping into the churches. Oh, I repeat it, that concerning Christian discipline, it must be administered in love, in compassion, with prayer, and with patience. But what saith the Word of God? John Calvin, when he has spoken of Christian discipline, then he has mentioned three purposes. In the first place, the glory of God. In the second place, the repentance of the sinner. And in the third place, the welfare of the church to safeguard the loyal members from the rotten. We have heard out of the Word of God, it is true, spoken of in a figurative sense, that if our eye offends us, we must pluck it out, not to be literally understood. Because we have heard, when there are sins among a people, we have mentioned Achan, that the wrath of God comes upon a whole people. I have heard of a man who on a journey, that he has injured his toe, and it became infected, and he went to a physician. And the physician said to that man, "My friend, the way to save your life is to amputate that toe. That is something to lose a toe." But that man did not feel it was necessary, and he went on his way. But then his foot became infected. He went to the physician by renewal. And the doctor says, "My friend, the way to save your life is to amputate your foot." But he did not want to lose his foot. Next it was his leg. And then it was too late to save his life. And now concerning Christian discipline, That is the calling and the duty of every member in the church. When we may see that there are things amiss, that are not according to God's word, then with prayer and with love and with compassion and asking the Lord for the right words to speak, when there is love, then we shall not have a desire to bring it on the streets of Ascalon, but then we have a desire to warn, to win them over, that they may be given to repent. And then we have gained our brother. We have heard it out of Matthew 18, the verses 17, the verses 15, 16, and 17, the calling of every member. But when there is no hearkening, when there is no repentance, then it is the calling that the church is told. Until that time, it is a secret sin known only by a very few. Of course, there can be sins because of the nature of that sin that they become public in that way. And then it is the calling of the church to admonish such a member, to beg him that he may be given to repent of his sinful ways. We read in Psalm 141, verse 5, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil. And when the sinner does not hearken, when the sinner does not repent, then there is silent censure. Then a member is not allowed to partake of the sacraments, and the male member is not allowed to come to the male member meeting. When there is no repentance, then it is the calling of the church. Then there are three steps in excommunication. The first step, that the sin is mentioned, the congregation is asked to pray. The second step, the name of the sinner is also mentioned, asking for the prayer of the church. And the third step, that it is announced, if there is no repentance, that on a certain Sabbath day, that such a sinner is excommunicated. Then families, then when you come home, or when you are in your dwellings, then you can open your Psalter to page 130. And there our forefathers, they have written those three pronouncements, those three steps of excommunication. And when we read them, what a profound matter it is. Thus two keys. And now concerning the last key, then it says, how was the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Thus, then it speaks of shutting, but also a way that it may be opened. And that is in the way of repentance and in the way of confession, where we read, and when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and of his church. Concerning the administration of Christian discipline, Reverend Van de Kemp, he has warned the churches, when Christian discipline is not administered, then he has written, this hardens the wicked, saddens the godly, kindles the wrath of God, and tarnisheth the luster of God's house. May in our life, may God's word have authority in the midst of us and our families, and how necessary to pray. The Lord has a people, we shall close, but the Lord has a people, that are given to experience, to be the guilty one, not to stand above anyone. Nevertheless, the calling of the watchman upon the walls of Zion. Read in Ezekiel 3, the duty of the watchman if they do not warn, then their blood shall be required. The necessity for us and our children to pray with the psalmist of Psalm 17, verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we may thank thee that thou wast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day. Then thou wast granted thy help. May it please thee to be the after preacher. May we be given to consider all our lives and our hearts, how it is concerning that door. Ah, Lord, wilt thou do a great work amongst us? And wilt thou now remember us in the week which we have commenced? Wilt thou grant strength and courage that we may take up our daily labors? May we be found to be good stewards of what thou hast entrusted unto us. Wilt thou grant health and happiness in the midst of the family circles? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger wherever we are called to be? May it please thee to keep us from storms of great destruction. Keep us from an unexpected and above all from an unprepared death. May we be given to meditate upon a closed and upon an open door. Wilt thou remember the consistory when they hope to meet in this week? Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding? And then by renewal we commend unto thee the family that is called upon to bring a beloved one to the cemetery. O Lord, do uphold and do strengthen and comfort them. And may the calling, may the solemn calling be sanctified. Teach us all to number our days, and may we apply our hearts unto wisdom's ways. Bring us safely to our dwellings, and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 112, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. O withhold not thou thy grace from me, O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show, thy truth be still my stay. And what follows, Psalter 112, 2, 3, and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.